are Locked On Spurs, your daily San Antonio Spurs podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey, welcome back to Locked On Spurs on the Locked On NBA Network. I'm your host, Jeff Garcia, Spurs writer for Ken's 5, San Antonio. And I'm glad to have you back as always. Hope you're having a good Spurs offseason. I know it's going to be a while before the guys are back in the court. But again, you know, we could have a lot more freedom now. Maybe have a few more fan episodes. You know that. Usually I do these about once a week during the regular season. Thinking about upping it to two now, because I know Spurs fans have a lot on their mind. For those of y'all who do not know how this works, basically we bring in a fan to represent the fan base, and he'll give his best shot as kind of giving the pulse of the fan base on a couple of topics, and then, of course, interjecting his opinion as well. Who is repping the fan base today on this fan episode? He is back, everybody. Danny Sandoval. You know him, you love him. Danny, welcome back to Locked On Spurs. You're driving again. What is with you and driving, you know, during lockdown? You know, how do you multitask like that?
You know, Jeff, I learned early on that you can't really get a lot of stuff done in this life without multitasking. So
yeah,
it's one of those things where you just kind of have to wing it. So I'm in the car, but not driving currently.
Okay.
I went ahead and pulled over to the side because I want to give my full attention to you and to this particular episode, because I'm glad that I'm on, because it's a very timely episode. I think the analogy I want to make here in a few moments, I think, is going to be relevant and germane to where the Spurs are currently.
Hey, no pressure, but the last fan episode was with your buddy
Jack
Escamilla, and he got a lot of props on social media.
Oh yeah, you know what? It's hard to come after Zach, because Zach is beloved by everyone. He has no enemies. And I always enjoyed Zach's episodes and pods, and we frequent each other's DMs often. So,
all right. Well, if you want to follow Danny on social media, you can do that right now. Just go on Twitter. It's probably the best bet to get him at Danny Sanders 80. Give him a follow right now. So, what are we talking about today on this fan episode? Well, Danny's going to be talking about two topics. First one is, how do Spurs fans feel about Lonnie Walker's future, whether it's in San Antonio or not? Is it that big of a deal if he walks, according, you know, based on what the fans believe in? Or do fans really want to see him re-sign with San Antonio? For those of you who do not know, he's entering restricted free agency as soon as that bell goes off and free agency begins this offseason. And also, kind of been a good topic because we're seeing the NBA playoffs right now. Very intense, very down to the wire. Defense is ratcheted up, as Kevin Durant. Oh, what's that like right now going against Boston? But how big of the gap is it between the Spurs' current iteration making it to that level? And he's going to be talking about that and more. Let's start off with the fan pulse with guardian Lonnie Walker. You know, Danny, as mentioned, he is a restricted free agent. You know, so set the stage here. He did have a pretty solid second half of the season, became less inconsistent and more consistent. He's kind of one of the biggest storylines heading into this offseason, his future in San Antonio. Where do Spurs fans stand with him? If he comes back, great. If fans want to see him take a hike and leave, what do fans feel about his future with the Spurs?
I think it's a mixed bowl. I think it's like 70-30. 70% he can take a hike, 30% he can leave, or I'm sorry, he can stay at the right price. The analogy I want to make is this. I'm currently going through a move of my own, and from a house that I've lived in for about 8 years. It's difficult because you have to kind of take inventory over everything that you want to take with you, everything you want to leave behind. And that's where the Spurs have been, right? I mean, I think since last year, let's take it back even further. Like I said, I've been in this house for 8 years, could basically drive there with my eyes closed. And I was used to it, really, really enjoyed it, kind of liked my space.
Yeah.
Spurs won a historical 22-year run. They knew every year when the ball was going to tip, they were going to be the top 2, 3, 4 teams in the league, and they would probably be playing well into May and June. I mean, that's what they knew. All the players knew that, the organization knew that, the fans knew that, and fans of other teams knew that. And now they find themselves to where, I think starting last year, they kind of made the decision of, hey, we need to move in a different direction. They took inventory and they went ahead and they cut ties with the vets they had at the time, DeMar, Patty, and Rudy, and they unleashed the young guns. And that's what something we've been wanting for a long time. I think me especially, and I think you and maybe some others have been wanting this since Kawhi left. So here we stand now. I mean, we have a young piece that was drafted back in 2018. This is his fourth year that he just completed. And I think that, I mean, I think I've been one of the more vocal Lonnie advocates, especially over the first 3.5 years to where, I mean, I foolishly had said, hey, I mean, I think if he can put it all together, I think he can be an all-time player, like a top 15 player. And I mean, that has not come to fruition. It's one of those things where I think right now, he might be who he is within the Spurs system. And I think I want to preface that with that caveat of within the Spurs system, he might be all he's going to be. And I think it was very curious after the game last week against the Pelicans. I think some other Spurs Twitters had kind of pointed out and taken some screenshots of some posts that Lonnie even liked, kind of intimating, hey, I mean, he wasn't really pleased with the playing time Pop gave him. And I think, I mean, without going too deep into the woods here, I mean, we all know Pop, we all love Pop, we all hate Pop to an extent, right? I mean, I think because he's been around for so long and he's garnered the love and the attention and the accolades that he has, I mean, a lot of deference is given to him, but at the same end, I think especially over the last 3 or 4 years, and I mean, without merging into too many lanes here, I mean, the system was always Tim Duncan, right? I think we all know that. We can all admit that. Every Spurs fan on Twitter can say, hey, I mean, the system, the Spurs, the face of the organization, the face of the franchise, we were who we were because of Tim. And everyone kind of just fell in line. And obviously it was great that we had Tony and Manu and the supporting pieces and Pop to kind of bring that together. But the system started and ended with Tim Duncan. And the day that he retired back in 2016 was the day that this franchise was never going to be the same. And sure, we had a really, really good year the following year because Kawhi just went, I mean, totally just, he exploded. And I mean, he did his best Michael Jordan impersonation that I think anyone's ever done since. But we all know how that story ended. And because of that, it's left the franchise in shambles. And I think because Pop is still there and because Pop is Pop and he's very slow to change and very slow to acclimate. And I'm not saying he doesn't ever do that, because I think we've seen from the time that Tim and David were still here, it was always five down, right? I mean, all Spurs fans know what five down means. Throw it in the post to Tim. Right. From there, I mean, it transitioned into more of a jump shooting team to where we saw that fully evolve into 2013-2014 season. And then, of course, 2017, whenever we didn't have that low post presence with Tim anymore, went more to Kawhi LaMarcus tandem. To now we have the young guns kind of running. And it's one of those things where I think the Spurs system obviously looks a lot different whenever you have Hall of Famers running in. I think right now, you look across the playoff landscape and you see young guys like, I mean, Maxey out of from the Sixers, he really, really, really impresses me a lot. I mean, he's a second-year guy, has really just taken the reins over that team. Last night I was watching the game whenever Harden fouled out. I mean, I think the announcers even said, like, I mean, this is really going to be on Maxey now. Is he gonna fold under pressure? And he didn't. I mean, I think he made 2 or 3 shots in overtime. And, of course, Embiid made that game-winning three. And that was the whole reason why I posted what I posted last night, as far as how talent trumps everything, because you see young guys, you see young players going out and playing the game and scoring and playing really well with Toronto. I mean, I saw Gary Trent. I know he's not a rookie. I think he's like a 2 or 3 or 4 year guy, but these players that, I mean, they're not superstars, but they can play at very high levels. And we don't see that with the Spurs. And I mean, I know people think I'm always critical and I'm hating on the Spurs, and I'm really not. I'm trying to see how we can get better. And I mean, if getting better means, hey, let's kind of see Pop retire and go his way, let's do that. Let's kind of see if we can maybe reinvent the system here with our current players and see if maybe if they can break out even more. We saw DeJounte break out this year. We saw Keldon break out this year.
Mm-hmm.
I hate to say it, but I almost think that going back to the question about Lonnie, it like I said earlier, it's a mixed bag as to where Spurs fans see him now. I mean, I think the majority, especially after that last performance in the playoffs, I mean, he was keeping the Spurs in it for the first half and then kind of disappeared the second half. Now, whether you think he might have deserved more
shocking,
minutes,
right? Inconsistent, right?
Exactly. I mean, that is a microcosm of his career, right? I mean, it's one of those things where he can dazzle you with an amazing move that probably only him and two or three other humans in the whole entire world can make, and then make a boneheaded play like after that and totally disappear and you forget he's in the game. And that's what was the maddening part about his game and the maddening part about him, to where, I mean, everything else aside, as far as his community endeavors and his efforts and the way he kind of really reached out to the community. I mean, that's always great. You love to kind of see that. But at the end of the day, it's what are you doing on the court? And I think it's one of those things where ultimately I wouldn't mind seeing him coming back. I really wouldn't. I like him. He's likable. I think he has a rapport with the young guys. They like him. I think that he can still be very effective. I mean, he's young, right? He's only 22.
Yeah.
It's not like he's old. It's not like he's already past his prime and we can call him a wasted pick like Šamanić. But I think one of those things that you have to look for with him is, hey, he needs to be consistent. And can he be consistent in this system? And I don't know what the answer to that is. So, sure, I would say bring him back. But, I mean, I would not want to pay him any more than maybe 12 to 13 million a year on a very team friendly contract that, hey, maybe we can opt out of that after two or three years if he keeps this mess up.
Yeah, and I think that's what it comes down to for Spurs fans. You know, you're right. You know, some of them are like, eh, it's no big deal if he comes back. The rest are, no, let him go. You know, I think it just depends on the price at the end of the day. And, you know, if he's chasing a bag like he was trying to start the season by, you know, not renegotiating with San Antonio, well, then I don't think he's going to get a big bag. Will he get a nice little pay bump? Yeah, sure. You know, he'll get a little increase, but I don't think maybe it's going to be a significant amount. So I think the Spurs will be okay as far as not depleting their funds, so to speak. If Alani, you know, wants more money, and he is. But the thing about it is that what was telling that you hit it on the head was, you know, his reaction after the game versus the Pelicans, the play-in, you know, with fans tweeting at him about, oh, free Lonnie. How do you pull Lonnie out, you know, of the game? He's instant offense and he's liking, you know, that's a sign in the direction that he's probably flirting with, probably leaving his silver and black jersey behind and off somewhere else. I think the Spurs will be okay either way. He comes back, great. If he leaves, it's a bummer, you know, good luck to you, Lonnie. But there's other guys there that I think are ready to step up, whether it be Vassell, whether it be the draft, whether it be Josh Richardson. Maybe you spend that money, you know, that you probably were going to give to Lonnie, give it to Josh. So I think the Spurs are going to be okay whether he stays or goes, Danny. Do Spurs fans or do you feel the same way?
Yeah, I do. I feel the same way. I mean, unfortunately, Lonnie isn't the game changer that I hoped he would be. In fact, I think there was one game, I think I want to say it was against the Rockets, like back in February or March. I think it was right before the Rodeo road trip. I had mentioned, because it took me until the middle of the third quarter and I realized, I was like, oh shoot, you know what? I haven't even seen Lonnie Walker play. I haven't seen him on the court. And I think I'd mentioned, I was like, that's really says a lot that a player like Lonnie, who's as explosive as he is and can really just, I mean, come off the bench and give you instant offense. That's sad that you didn't really realize he wasn't even in the game until three and a half quarters in. And I think I had like five or six or seven people agree with me and like, oh yeah, we didn't even realize that. He's one of those players that it's like I said, it's really maddening the way that he is tantalizing and confusing. And, but you know what? I don't want to make this a full Lonnie Walker episode, but I don't blame him. I don't blame him for wanting to maybe look elsewhere, because I'll never forget. I love the Lonnie Walker pick whenever the Spurs made it back in 2018. I mean, we're going through a lot of turmoil during that summer. At that point, during the draft, Kawhi had not left yet. There was still that whole situation was up in the air. I know there were rumors about Pop flying in a red eye to San Diego to meet with Kawhi. Oh, yeah. There was that picture that was floating around that, they're at a restaurant, and that was later found out to be taken a year or two prior. But I'll never forget, I think a week within the first couple of days of Lonnie getting drafted, Pop made a comment that he never lived up to, and that was this. He said, and I haven't watched this highlight or this interview in a long time, but I remember, I'm paraphrasing here, he said, Lonnie's going to kind of be like Manu, and that I'm going to kind of have to let him just kind of run, because he's one of those players where he's going to make mistakes, but he's also going to do some good things, and I'm going to have to kind of have to treat him like Manu in that way. He never got that benefit of getting treated like Manu. And sure, I mean, you can say whatever you want about Lonnie as far as some of the boneheaded plays he's made, some of the lapses on defense he made, some of the times, sometimes never, he just kind of disappeared from the game. But I think early on, especially with him, I mean, he came out with a lot of confidence, a lot of exuberance. He had that hair that, I mean, you just couldn't miss. Mm-hmm. And then he never got that opportunity to really show that. Other than, everyone remembers the legendary Lonnie game against the Rockets now, right? And that was going to be like the beginning of like the origin story of Lonnie Walker and how he became great, and he saved the franchise. And I think the next day, I'm not even joking, I think the next game, I think he either didn't play or played like maybe 5 minutes. And that was just typical Pop. And I think he spent the first 2 years in the G League, and finally third year kind of came out and had more consistent playing time. But I mean, there was always that lack of inconsistency as far as just giving him that opportunity. And sure, he had vets in front of him, and we can go on and on about why the Spurs maybe should have turned and pivoted a lot sooner. But yeah, to end that Lonnie Walker chapter, the Spurs are going to be okay either way. I mean, unfortunately, he's not the game changer we wanted him or needed him to be. But I fear that seeing him go to another team that has more of a free-flowing offense, like I think he would be absolutely fantastic like in a team like Toronto. I was watching them last night. Everyone touches the ball. You have guys like Gary Trent and Anobi, Siakam, all guys that are shooters and slashers that play the game well together. If you went to a team like Toronto, I think he would thrive. I think he would thrive in that particular kind of system where it's more free-flowing. There's a lot more agency given to the players where they can do more. It's not as robotic. And it's not as it's not as already cookie-cutter as far as just the way the Spurs can sometimes be in terms of you have to be here at this particular time. And I mean, it's just more free flowing to where if he goes to a team like that, I can definitely see him thriving.
There you have it. That's what the Spurs fans and Danny are thinking about when it comes to Lonnie's future in San Antonio. But hey, you know, if you want to have some fun in the near future, whether that be looking at the NBA games, perhaps Major League Baseball, you want to add a little spice to it, I urge you to go to betonline.net. It is your number one source for all your betting stats and sports information. You can find all the latest sports developments, league reviews, and news, including this year's basketball playoffs and the start of the Major League Baseball season. They even have odds on DeJounte Murray's chances to win the Most Improved Player of the Award. And it's not that bad. Vegas thinks he has a good puncher's chance. You can find that out over at BetOnline. BetOnline is your continuous source for all your sporting wagering information, from live betting, playoffs, esports. Yes, the NBA 2K League is in full swing now, and much, much more. Head to the website today. Use your mobile device. Look, you got a cell phone in your pocket. You got a laptop. Go there. BetOnline.net to learn more about the trends and actions. BetOnline, where the game starts. We're back with Danny Sandoval. He is representing the entire Spurs fan base right here on this fan episode of Locked On Spurs. We just finished talking about Lonnie Walker. But look, if he is back, and we'll just play devil's advocate right now. Pretend everybody's back, Danny. Obviously there could be new additions, you know, with the draft picks, if they keep them or not. But the point of this next segment is, where do Spurs fans feel this team has presently constructed, everybody? I know that things are probably going to be dramatically changed next season. Who knows? But as of right now, how big is that gap between this Spurs team actually make it into the playoffs? Now, I bring it up, Danny, because you mentioned it, you know, earlier, you know, the playoffs are in full swing. You mentioned Toronto. We saw the defense cranked up, as Kevin Durant, and Boston is doing that. Joel Embiid's upping his game. The point of the matter is everybody upped at a level. And we saw in the play-in game for the second time, second year in a row, the Spurs fell short, not bringing that juice, so to speak, to really challenge in the play-in game tournament and make it to the playoffs. Danny, do Spurs fans feel the gap is wide between this Spurs team vaulting into the playoffs, whether it be via the play-in or outright spot? Or is this shorter than maybe what we think it is? Because remember, Popovich did say youth showed in that game versus the Pelican. How big is that gap, Danny, between this team making it to the NBA playoffs?
If you're asking me personally, I think it's a chasm. I think that it couldn't be more noticeable and more wider than what you saw whenever we played the Pelicans. And really, the Pelicans, they're not a great team. They just happen to get really hot at the right time. Mm-hmm. And you see guys on that team, like, I mean, I was supremely impressed with Alvarado. I mean, totally J.J. Mm-hmm. Barea vibes with him. Like, he went out there. He was a pest. But he plays with swagger. He plays with confidence. He plays with just a chip on his shoulder. Like, hey, I mean, I worked to get here. And it's those kind of players that, I mean, even though he's not a Spur, even though you hate him whenever he's playing against you, it's a cool story to see, right? Because it's one of those things, like, I mean, here he is. Looks like he's like 5'10 or 5'9 or whatever. But, I mean, he's giving the team hell. And, I mean, he's over there making threes and penetrating and dishing. And I saw him in that Clipper game to where, I mean, he was a vital piece of the Pelicans advancing. And, I mean, of course, and also winning the other day against Phoenix, which I'll say right now, if that were the Spurs, they're getting swept. Like, the Spurs are getting swept mm-hmm. by the Suns. They're not taking one game from the Suns. So for the Pelicans to go into Phoenix, and I think right now, I think it's safe to say Phoenix is the favorite to win the title right now. I think you listen to the national pods and you look across Twitter. I mean, I think that they're probably the favorites, and I probably agree with that. If they keep on playing the way that they're playing right now, and Chris Paul has been amazing. Obviously, we don't know what's going to happen with Devin Booker and his injury. But, yeah, I mean, Spurs are not taking a game off Phoenix. So for them, for the Pelicans to go in and do that, that's incredible. But I digress to say that gap even between the Spurs and the Pelicans, because the Pelicans only won, I think, what, like 38, 39 mm-hmm. games? So right. It's not like they were even a 500 team throughout the year. So they happened to get hot at the right time. And, of course, they have still, right, they have Zion Williams looking yep. at, off the bench. I mean, he's the number one pick from 2 years ago. I don't know what's going to happen with that, honestly. I mean, it's one of those things where I think he's probably going to still beg for a bigger market regardless of what happens in this series. I think it's a promising team. I think if I was him, I would say, hey, you know what? Screw whatever I might want right now. Let's go ahead. Let's see what we can do here. And let's let the chips fall where they may here in about three mm-hmm. or 4 years. I don't think he's going to do that. I think he's going to be out sooner than that. But again, that gap, and I said this even that night, and I think the day after, and I kind of got some grief for it, because the gap to me is so wide. All right. I mean, you look at our team, you look at our guys, and sure, I love DeJounte. I've loved him since we picked him back in 2017. He's our guy. He's one of those guys where, I mean, I'm sorry, 2016 is when I got him, but he is total Spur, right? I mean, we developed him from the get-go, and he's one of those guys where mm-hmm. you just see the growth. And he had that setback year whenever he injured his knee right before the season started, and he hated to see it, but he came back better and stronger, and I think he's going to improve even more. But he's not the guy. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying he's not good. I'm not saying he's trash. I'm not saying we need to trade him, but he's not the guy. And that's okay. That's okay if he's not the guy. If he can be 1A or 2 or even 3, that's fine, because a really good team that's going to contend right. needs that.
Yeah, and I think there's a lot of Spurs fans that are starting to come around and seeing, you know, that DeJounte may not be the guy for the team. You know, I mean, just look up and down, just do a history, you know, on social media and look back when Murray was dropping triple doubles and, oh, he's the man, he's the man, he's the man. You fast forward to the end of the season, slowly but surely, first Spurs fans are saying, you know what, maybe he's not the man, but he is a big piece. Even local media in San Antonio are saying, you know, this, he's just not it. So I think they're coming around to it. Again, we're not knocking him. You know, there's been plenty of great Robins to Batmans in the NBA history. Absolutely. Yeah, and he's one of them. But I look at the Spurs team and you know, I agree with you. I think the gap is wide between this current iteration of the Spurs and the current level of teams where they're playing. I think if you, throw them with anybody, throw them with the Pelicans, you know, obviously we know the result is that was added, but you mentioned it, the Warriors, the Suns, you know, the Nuggets, you know, I think they curb stomp them, you know. Although I've been on record saying that I think they could have gotten at least one game in the series against a team for a gentleman's sweep, but it's just this level of intensity that you're seeing right now, Danny, with these teams. I'm thinking like, holy moly.
Oh,
could
yeah.
this Spurs team bring it to that level?
And I don't think that they can.
It's so tough.
I don't think that they could. I mean, you saw that game against the Pelicans. And I mean, look, I've said this multiple times and I got grief for it. But look, that last month and a half of the regular season was fool's gold. Sure, DeJounte played well. Keldon played really well. I think he had, scored 20 points for the first time in his career, over the course of 9 or 10 straight games.
Right.
And they just folded. They folded that first half to where the guys that you were counting on and you actually expected to show up, they wilted. The best player that night was Devin Vassell. And, I mean, I think mm-hmm. for the longest time, a lot of us have been saying, like, yeah, we expect him to take that leap. And I think even before the season started, I said, hey, I mean, he's going to take the leap, but he's not going to take the leap. He's not going to take the leap that we're all wanting and expecting mm-hmm. him to take maybe a year or two from now, because even him, he's still young. I think he's like 20 or 21. So, I mean, that's the thing I think we can all take solace in and knowing his, like, hey, I mean, our guys are still young, but they're just not there yet, and they're not even really close to getting there yet. It's going to take a lot of retooling this year. It's going to take a lot of luck. I'm still hoping. I'm hoping against hope that even though we have made the play-in and we didn't tank and we didn't throw away those games at the end of the year, I'm hoping that 20% that is allotted to us as far as that chance to get that number one pick or not mm-hmm. even the top three or four pick, I hope that we just get really, really lucky, really, really exceedingly lucky that night, because that's what this team needs. That's the kind of infusion of talent and youth and star power that we need in order to get back to where we all want to be, which is contending for the title year after year after year. And right now, this team is not it at all. And I think Brian Wright needs to do whatever it is that he can do that, whether it be trading Jakob or even Keldon. I mean, I'm not opposed to that. I think he's, yeah, I mean.
Well, you're about to get some Twitter reaction on that take right now.
Just I'm sure.
No, you are.
Yeah, and I'll defend that because, like, hey, if part of our organization is development and if we can develop these guys to the point where they look really enticing and appealing to another team to where they're going to give us really nice and good assets that we can possibly use to parlay into something better, then great. Then that's how you do it. That's how you get back to where you want to win. And I'm not saying I don't like Keldon. I really like him. And I think you and I even had the conversation towards the beginning of the season. Like, I think he was one of the players that maybe we kind of didn't see him as a long-term fixture on this mm-hmm. team. But I think he really did ingratiate himself to the team and to the community and the organization. And he improved vastly this year. I mean, his shooting was just extraordinary. Yeah.
It was just like overnight, too. Like, literally overnight. It went from, like, one moment. I'm making this up. I'm being extreme here. 0-for-10 to, like, leading the league in three-point percentage. I mean, it just, like, was snapped. And, yeah, you're right, Danny. I've been on record here in Lockdown Spurs saying that, yeah, I know flipping players this offseason should still be on the table. That definitely should still be on the table. Yeah.
Absolutely.
And I can tell you how much of that, and much is a hot topic with fans, because on the YouTube page for Lockdown Spurs, somebody dropped a comment saying, like, I was with this episode until the talk of flipping players started and they hung up. So they said they stopped. So, that tells you how much of a hot button this is. But I think it needs to be on the table.
It absolutely does. No stone unturned this summer.
Yeah.
That's going to be my motto. No stone unturned.
Even Jakob Poeltl talked about it at the trade deadline. He was on the table to get dealt to Charlotte. He spoke with the Austrian outlet saying that, yeah, they were aware of it. So, and Jakob was considered for a good portion of the start of the season, like, oh, you know, the Spurs go as he goes. I mean, there was that moment in this past season that was a reality. And
it was short lived, but yeah, and I,
it was short lived.
I think it was one of those two where it was kind of nearsighted for a lot of us to say that. Yeah. And he was certainly valuable, but I think towards the end of the year, and
I guess the point of the matter is like the Spurs were willing even to trade him.
Sure.
So yeah, they're willing to trade him. Yeah. Then that should be on the table. We're talking with Danny Sanders right here on this fan episode of Locked On Spurs. But look, if you've fallen off your New Year's resolution, you know, the one where you need to lose some weight, well, don't worry. Built Bar has you covered. They'll get you back on track. Built Bar, one of the best tasting health bars I've had in decades. I forget it's a health bar. And I start thinking it's a candy. It's that good for you, but it's not as bad for you as a candy bar. Look, they have a puff, which is basically a protein-infused marshmallow puff bar. Covered 100% chocolate. They're a treat. It's a protein bar. I swear you think I'm lying to you. No, it really is good for you. You probably say, hey, Jeff, these are candy bars. They're not. Puff are a fan favorite with some incredible flavors from churro, coconut marshmallow, banana cream pie. They're so good. They're going to be your new favorites. Built bars are covered in 100% real chocolate. Yes, even the puffs, 100%. Covered in chocolate. Low cal, high protein. Replace your candy bars with these. They're better. A typical candy bar can be anywhere from 200 to 300 calories. You want to go to built.com right now. Scroll down to the macros chart. You'll be blown away. High protein, low cal, high fiber, low carb. Look, most built bars contain just 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar, 4 net carbs, 17 grams of protein. Compare that to a candy bar, which just has about 240 calories. You don't want that in your body. Mint brownie, coconut almond, white chocolate cookies and cream. That's the new flavor for this month. They are all delicious. New flavors are coming out all the time. I think you'll find your new favorite too. Look, at Built Bar, they're all about taste. They make it taste delicious first, then figure out how to make it healthy. Go to built.com right now. Use promo code LOCK15. Get 15% off your order. That's promo code LOCK15 for 15% off at built.com.
Hey, Jeff.
We're back with Danny Sanders. Yes, sir.
If you have any pull at all with that Built Bar, I mean, if you can get like a surf and turf flavor, like a bar that tastes like a medium rare ribeye with crab tail, I'm in. I will go right now and I will buy them all.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised if Built Bar brings that flavor out someday, like surf and turf flavor. No, they have a Coke. They have a cricket flavor, and I thought it was going to be grossed out. It's actually pretty good. It wasn't that bad. It tasted like a thin mint.
Yeah, I like cricket. It's good.
Yeah, but let's go to put a wrap on this fan episode of Locked On Spurs with Danny Sanders. He's repping the fan base on a couple of hot topics as we are now in the Spurs offseason. We'll just kind of wrap up the last segment here about that gap between the Spurs, current iteration of the Spurs, and the playoff teams. You mentioned what you think about this team. You said there's a big chasm. Would you say Spurs fans collectively would think the same thing too? There's a big chasm or?
I think it's half and half. Yeah. It's half and half. Because I remember whenever I posted that the other day, I mean, I got some blowback. I mean, I think one poster in particular, like he was saying, well, I mean, I think the talent gap isn't as wide as you think it is. Because, I mean, of course, he goes on to list about all the improvements that the current group of Spurs have made. And I don't deny that. I know they have. I know they've made a big jump, and I know that they've made a big improvement, but not enough to make a difference. Not enough. And I'll say this. If we keep the current iteration of Spurs that we have now, and we re-sign Lonnie, we keep DeJounte, keep Keldon, keep Jakob, keep all the pieces that played in that last Pelicans game, and if we don't do anything to really stir things up, whether it be a trade through free agent or a trade through the draft and get somebody higher, or sign a free agent, we're not going to make the playoffs next year. We won't. We will still be in the same bottom cellar of the West that we were this year. I don't think we're ever going to get to the point where we're going to be as bad as the Kings, because the Kings just seem to screw up everything they ever try to do. But we're still going to be in that 10-9 seed, still clawing for a play-in. And I think that we're going to be in that cycle for a while unless we really try to stir it up. And I think that's what the message needs to be to the front office this year is like, hey, we saw what the young guys can do, all right? And sure, they played their hearts out. They showed their potential in some games, and they showed their flaws and their warts in other games. And especially in that last game, I mean, we really kind of saw that what that talent gap looks like. Could we saw Brandon Ingram and CJ McCollum and even guys like Herb Jones? I mean, Herb Jones was drafted in the second round.
No, and it's funny you mentioned Herb Jones too, because yeah. I did a game preview with a playing preview with the Pelicans.
Yeah.
And he was so under the radar that the host of Locked On Pelicans during the recording said, like, I'm surprised you didn't bring up Herb Jones. Like you forget about that kind of a player, but my God, I mean, he didn't back down from the spotlight. I mean, was
not at all
in Murray's face, and there were times the camera caught him talking smack to Murray and just really, really making life difficult for Murray. But you're right. The Spurs, sometimes I think, Danny, the Spurs just need a little bit more dog in them.
Yes, and that's why I like Josh Richardson so much. Because Josh Richardson, I think the night of that play-in game, the Spurs released that video of Josh Richardson and Primo talking there at that table. And Primo even said, he said, whenever you came to the team, we started talking spicy. And you could tell that. You could tell, like, mm-hmm. there was a little bit of swagger they started playing with. We need that. That's why I hope that, I mean, I think Richardson's already under contract for next year, but
at least
I
want
to see him longer than that. I want to see him on this team for the next 3 to 5 to 7 years, if possible. I mean, albeit, I mean, hopefully with a team-friendly contract, but he's the kind of energy we need. We need that spiciness. We need that spicy talk. We need that kind of swagger out there that we're not afraid to get into that other team and talk some smack. And that's why, I don't want to belabor this point. I think under Pop, a lot of that has kind of been backdoored because it's like, hey, that's not how you're going to react. That's not how you're going to act on the court. You're going to act a certain way. And that culture has extended even to now the young guys, to where you could tell, I mean, they're probably itching to kind of say things or do things or dance or whatever. Mm-hmm. And they kind of feel like they maybe can't do that all the time because of Pop. And I mean, again, whether you agree with that or disagree with that, I think that that's just kind of the tenor that this organization has kind of extended, to where I don't think that that's comfortable all the time. So for Josh Richardson to come in midseason and really bring that swagger and bring that spicy talk like Primo had talked about, that's what we need. And that's what I want to see moving forward.
We're here once again with Danny Sanders, and he's wrapping up our chat with him as he wraps the entire fan base and on a couple of topics. And we want to hear from you now. You heard what he had to say about Lonnie Walker, what he thinks, what the fans thinks about his future in San Antonio, and also the thoughts on how big of the gap is, if there is any, between this current roster. We're going to make that stress because somebody is going to tweet at you, Danny, and say, like, well, the Spurs are going to make some changes. We know that. We're just saying, as of right now,
as
presently
right now.
Built, you know, how big is that gap between the Spurs and vaulting themselves into the playoffs? Because, my goodness, that defense is just – it's gotten physical out there, too. And you just got to wonder if this team could have survived – that type of play in a series against one of these teams in the West. But like we said, we're done talking. We want to hear from you. You can let us know what you think. You let me know on Twitter at Jeff G Spurs Zone. Danny, one more time, give your Twitter handle out.
At Danny Sanders 80. I'm always open for debate. DMs are wide open. So holla.
By the way, during this recording, Zach got another shout out, some props about his last episode. So hopefully you get some of those too.
Oh, I'm sure I'm not. I have so many haters out there. They won't even like my post, but it's okay. I love them. Love them.
What's that thing the kids say now? Like, haters fuel them or something like that. I'm too old.
Oh, yeah.
Stuff. So, yeah. There was something like that. But, hey, you know what? Look, Danny's a really good, nice guy. You know, give him a follow on Twitter. You know. I've met him in person. We've had lunch together. He's fine.
We've broken bread. We've broken tortillas. We've had tacos together.
He's fine. He's fine. We thank you for making Locked On Spurs your first listen each and every day. The NBA playoffs are in full swing. Check out all the NBA podcasts, or at least the teams that are being in the represented in the playoffs right now, from Locked On Pelicans, Locked On Suns, Nuggets, Celtics, Raptors. They're all there. Give them a subscription right now. The YouTube page is active. We thank you for all the follows and the comments. Yeah, the comments are coming in fast. So go to the search bar, Locked On Spurs in YouTube, and give us a subscription. So for Danny Sanders, I am Jeff Garcia. We're going to put a lock on this episode of, or this fan episode of, Locked On Spurs.